Now it's time for Rod and Reel Radio with your hosts, Hop Along John Cassidy, fresh and saltwater expert angler Stan Vanderberg, and all-around outdoors, fishing, and hunting enthusiast Wendy Toshihara. If you love the outdoors, enjoy salt or freshwater fishing, this is the show for you. We'll cover most all of the fishing tournaments and events with special reports while providing you with the information you need as to how and where to experience the best fishing opportunities in Southern California, Baja, Alaska, or just about anywhere the fish are biting. Rod and Reel Radio brought to you by El Cajon Ford at Broadway and Main or online at elcajonford.com. Whether it's time for a new or used car or truck, or you need to take advantage of San Diego's best quick lane for service with genuine Ford parts, brand name tires at competitive prices, remember, nobody beats El Cajon Ford. We have some fantastic guests and reports lined up for you this evening, so sit back, relax, and get ready for the fastest 2 hours in radio. It's all right here, right now, on Rod and Reel Radio, the best stop on your radio dial for all the information you need for fishing opportunities all over the United States. Now here's your host, Hop Along, John Cassidy.
Well, thank you, Mark Larson, and everyone, welcome to this Sunday's edition of Rod and Reel Radio. I am indeed your underfished host, Hop Along John Cassidy, and it is a pleasure to have you with us tonight. Hey, we've got a jam-packed show for you tonight. We've got Stan and Wendy with us. We've got some special guests, too, that we're going to get to. Let me give you a rundown of exactly who we're talking to tonight. First of all, we've got the father-son of Andy Palachek and his son Jackson. They're going to be with us. Andy started off an organization called the SoCal Junior Bass Anglers. It is probably about 5 years old right now. Started off rather modestly, but it is gaining in momentum. So we're going to want to find out what that's all about, what they're doing, and what is happening with the junior anglers in this organization. And then later on in the evening, Frank Ersetti, owner-operator of the Ranger 85 and managing partner of H&M Landing, will be with us. And then Stan will be back in at 6 o'clock. We're going to take a quick tour of the Eastern Sierras to find out what happened for the opener at Bridgeport, June Lake, and Crowley Lake. And then later on the show, Michael Morrison will join us from 22nd Street Landing. We'll try to get an update on what's happening up there in L.A. when it comes to fishing. And we're going to end up with Eric Sauerwine, owner-operator of Tomahawk Sports Fishing. He's just in from an overnight out in the tuna grounds. We're going to want to find out what he learned and what has happened to some of the other boats that went on out this weekend. So it's a full show for you tonight. But before we do anything, let me introduce our listening audience to my co-host. First, this gentleman is the voice of 1-800-BASS-BOAT. And a pretty darn good saltwater and freshwater angler in his own right, Mr. Stan Vandenberg. Stan, are you there?
I am here and ready to rock and roll. You know, tournament under my belt, another one this week, another one next week, and they're catching fish in the Sierras. It's all good.
All right. Hey, and let's see, my other co-host, she is the national sales manager for Iserline, and an exceptional outdoor enthusiast in her own right, both in hunting and fishing, Ms. Wendy Toshihara. Wendy, are you with us?
I am here. It's nice to hear both of you.
Hey. No kidding.
We have to thank our in-studio producer, Otto, for getting everything together, because he did a Herculean effort and putting some of the pieces of the show together, his second time in the studio, learning the equipment. Otto, thank you very much. As always, you make at least me sound a lot better than I really am. But, man, there's a lot of fishing news out there, guys. Just a couple of things before we get to Andy and Jackson. We want to give congratulations to the winner of the 2018 Academy Sports Outdoor Bassmasters Elite Classic at Grand Lake, Oklahoma, Mr. Kevin Van Dam. He had a four-day total of 83.4, and he capped it off on his fourth day with a 5.5-pound fish, which is a kicker that gave him the win. Second place was Tommy Biffle with 78.2, and third place gave Kevin a real run for his money, Roy Hawk. He came in with 77 pounds. And Roy Hawk, we all know Roy isn't a rookie, but in the Elite Series, he is regarded as a rookie, and Roy has two great finishes under his belt in the first two tournaments. A couple of other notable guys that we want to definitely, show in the spotlight. In 13th place, Justin Loukaitis. 15th, our good friend D. Rojas. 16th place, Brett Height. 19th place, Clifford Perch. 23rd place, Aaron Martins. And the first day leader, and man, all you young fishermen out there, to show you, you just don't get discouraged. This gentleman was the first place leader the first day leader, and he wound up in 27th place, but did a good job also, was Takahiro Omori. So, guys, congratulations on a great day of fishing. And they did pretty well up there, Stan and Wendy.
It's nice to see Takahiro up there again.
Oh, well, man, I was just so disappointed because he was in first place after the first day. And then all of a sudden, the steamroller called Kevin Van Dam came up there, and he threw up a 24-pound bag of fish against him, and it was just tough fishing for them.
Still, he has done such a great – he's one of our Western anglers, and he's done such a great job. He's a tough guy no matter how you cut it. If you ever fished against him, you'll know why. He's one of those guys. He's a top-10 kind of guy. So to know that, one, he's in the AOI, the Anglers of the Year race, and – he almost won this one, is pretty doggone cool. He's been doing great.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
And, he was tied up. I tried to get him on tonight. And then next week, they're fishing Kentucky Lake. So who knows? We might be able to get him on, Roy Hawk on, for winning Kentucky Lake. But these guys right now are knocking them down as they come along. So
that would be pretty cool if he could do that.
It's tough to get him on the schedule. Hey, guys, let's go and talk about something that's really cool. You know, we talk a lot about getting young people, kids, involved in bass fishing. A lot of people do the talk, but they don't do the walk. I want to introduce you to two guys that not only do they do the talk, but they walk the walk. They put together an organization down here in San Diego called the Southern California Junior Bass Anglers. It's my pleasure to introduce to you Andy Palachek and his son, Jackson. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening, John.
Hey, we've had Andy and Jackson on before. I can't recall, Andy, when's the first time you've had on, but we have had you on for maybe
a while back.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
You always are open to having us on, and we appreciate the opportunity, John, so thanks for having us on.
You've been a part of our industry and a part of the fishing world for a long while there, Andy. And now the things you're doing going forward here are going to make a real difference, which is really cool.
Yeah, we've got a lot of exciting stuff going on. And just to give a little backstory, because the club has actually been in existence for almost 20 years. Larry Wilson started the club.
That's right.
I think it was originally just Ramona Junior Bass is what I believe it was. And then I think somewhere around 2010, Frank and Jeannie, the Pasalic family, took over the club and ran it for several years and had some real strong years in those years where they had upwards of, 30 kids. And shortly thereafter, I had called Jeannie to see what the schedule was for the following year, and she said she wasn't sure she was going to do it again, and I didn't think that was the right thing to happen, so I got involved, and now I'm in my sixth season, and it's just exploding. I mean, the first couple of years, you have to have six kids to have a sponsored TBF club. And we were banging our heads against the wall to get six kids. And this year I had to cap it at 50 kids, and I still get probably half a dozen emails or texts a week right now saying, hey, what do I need to do to join? And it's just incredible. I mean, we've all seen how youth fishing is exploding at the high school, collegiate level around the country, and we're a little bit behind here, but we're starting to get traction here, and youth fishing is really starting to take hold here, and it's good to see.
Well, if you go to the Rod and Reel Radio Facebook page, we had a post from Lake Chickamauga that they had a high school event that there were 180 teams competing, and this is in Tennessee. And Andy, I know you're going to be pulling what hair you have left out if you get to that point in time, but, this is fishing. Yes, but it's actually for the kids more than just fishing.
Yeah, you know, obviously the fishing is a huge part. I like to call it a friendly, competitive environment. There's a lot of stuff on the line, but I look at it as a whole lot more than that. To me, it's what kind of impact or impression can I make on these kids? And, like I said on the news last week, fishing is a self-policing sport. And so we focus on integrity, honesty, accountability, morals, values, and all the things that you need to be, to be a good person. I like to tell these kids at the end of the day, no one's going to remember how many 10-pounders you caught if you're not a good person. So that's our number one goal.
Well, not only is it the kids participating, and we'll talk a little bit more about that to Jackson, but also the San Diego and Southern California fishing community stepping up to help you to take the kids out fishing with them. How does that work?
Absolutely. That's my only limiting factor right now, because we need volunteer boaters. These kids are two to a boat. It's a random draw with a boater and two randomly drawn kids per boat. And these boaters volunteer their time and their boat to come out and take these anglers fishing. And so, I have 50 kids this year, so I need 25 volunteer boaters every tournament. And there's a lot going on. I mean, between the tournament schedules, school activities, other sports, family things, now with summer coming up, it's a lot. It's challenging to get those boaters, but they're the lifeline of the program. Without them, I'd have nothing. And so there's so many guys I could sit here and thank, the Kevin Norlings, Tom Leadhams, Mike Walsh, and all these tournament guys that are stepping up to take a step away from their lives and their family to come out and take care of the kids in my program, and I really appreciate it.
Well, let's talk now to one of the rising stars, not only in this program, but when it comes to angling himself, because this is a young gentleman that gets out there and not only competes with the juniors, but Andy, when he fishes with you, he's out there among the guys that are doing this for real in the tournaments, and that's Action Jackson Palachek. So, Jackson, tell us a little bit about what are some of your first memories of going fishing and probably with your dad.
Yeah, one of my first memories of going fishing is we used to go to Lake Cuyamaca, and we would crappie fish and trout fish, and that's where I learned how to fish. And there's where I caught my first fish. I caught my first crappie. And from there on, I've just loved fishing. And a couple years after that, we got into bass fishing and started doing that a lot. And we started fishing tournaments, and we did well in a couple of our first tournaments, which, gave us momentum, and we knew we could compete with a lot of these good anglers in San Diego. So we started bass fishing tournaments, and now we're here, and it's a great time.
I think that's important, one, to be able to get involved where you can go fish tournaments when you're younger like this and get exactly the experience you had where you have the confidence, like you just said, that we could compete against these guys in the arena. That's really all it is. If you can catch five fish a day and you can weigh them in, you can compete in the arena. And having just that confidence to go do that is huge. It's a great thing that your dad has helped you with. And now with this new format where you're out there with two guys in the boat, competing against those other guys, and it becomes quite the friendship, and you'll be ending up fishing against these guys in tournaments for the rest of your life if you stay with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jackson,
I have a question for you guys.
Go.
So, in the beginning, you guys, you have to have six anglers in order to have a team.
Correct.
And now you cap it at 50. How were you able to recruit all those other kids to be in the club, and what do you guys think about lettering in bass fishing or in fishing in general, making it a school program?
It's grown by word of mouth, and we have a Facebook page, and we've put ourselves out there, but these kids, a huge part of their lives is over there at Santee Lakes, and somebody we got to give credit to is Tammy and Tony Santiago, who have opened their campsite. They camp there a couple times a week, a month, excuse me, and they've opened up their campsite to these kids, and they've gathered there, and they just talk about this club, and one kid just kept joining after another, and it's just kind of, you know, morphed into this uncontrollable, you know, snowball of kids wanting to get in the club, and it's just great to see.
I got a question for you. When you get the guy, you know, one of us guys with the bass boat volunteers to take the two guys out that are fishing against the rest, does the gentleman, whoever's driving the boat, get to actually teach them or show them, you know, how to do things, how to set up, or where to fish on the lake? How much is he involved?
There is a level of involvement. The kids are supposed to be able to tie their own knots and fish independently, pick their own baits and pick their own spots, but the boater's there to help, you know, as long as they're just not, you know, making the cast and hooking the fish and reel them, you know, letting the kids reel them in. I'm all for these guys helping these kids learn as much as they can. The captain's there to drive the boat and help out to do the things that the kids don't feel comfortable doing, whether it's with the trolling motor or other things. But they're there to help, but it is a competitive environment, so, you know, we ask that they, you know, keep in mind that there's a lot on the line that these kids are competing for.
You know, and Jackson, you have a lot of experience fishing with your dad and fishing in events. And
correct.
But I know that there are a lot of good young anglers out there because we see them come into the shop here, and we've seen them, their parents bringing them in for years. But do you feel like with your experience that you also have something to share with a lot of the other people that are participating in this program?
Yeah, I tell a lot of kids that, like, some of the kids will get discouraged or, like, they feel like they can't compete after the first event if they don't do well. And I tell them that that's exactly how I started, but you just have to keep going and going, and you'll do good in one tournament, and it'll just keep snowballing, and you'll just gain a lot of confidence, like I was saying earlier, and you'll just keep getting better and better.
You know, Stan and Wendy, I think we know that feeling. How many tournaments have we been in where there's people going out there and cleaning our clocks, and we feel lucky if we can even get bit?
Well, you know, that's part of the fishing world. If you can be on them this week and be off them the next week, because the one thing they have is fins and they move. I understand that wholeheartedly. You know, I had fish that enough to win a tournament 2 weeks ago, went back and looked for them yesterday, and they moved, and I had to go re-find my fish. That's just part of the sport. That, I think, is one of the best parts of it, understanding what to do and how to change and where to go after you can't find them this week and you got to find them next week.
All right. Hey, guys, we're going to take a break right now. We're with Andy and Jackson Palachek. Stan, Wendy, and I will be back after these messages, so stay tuned to Rod and Reel Radio.
You can count on El Cajon Ford,
job,
as
guys.
So many Southern Californians have for years. El Cajon Ford has the cars and trucks you can count on, like the all-new Fusion and Escape, Edge, Explorers, and more. And now Fiestas with 38 mpg and Focus with 40 miles per gallon highway, plus C-Max Energy with up to 42 highway EPA estimates. El Cajon Ford has them now. Shop online at elcajonford.com. Choose from hundreds of your favorite F-Series trucks, too. El Cajon Ford knows trucks, no matter what you're hauling or towing, for a great weekend of fishing or for some fun in the desert. Now get special savings on every F-Series truck in stock, 150s, 250s, 350s, at El Cajon Ford. We have commercial trucks, too, including the all-new Transit Connect, finally a commercial van with great mileage, helping your business get moving again. El Cajon Ford, worth the short drive from anywhere in Southern California, Broadway and East Main in El Cajon, or online anytime, anywhere at elcajonford.com.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel, specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
I got a garage full of fishing tackle, and every time I get out on the water, I realize I forgot something important. But I never forget my life jacket. I make sure my buddies wear theirs, too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Angler's Arsenal is the serious angler's first choice for hand-poured plastics, McCoy Line, Spro Products, Gamakatsu Hooks, G. Loomis Fishing Rods, Shimano Products, Ovid Reels, and just about anything you hear advertised on Rod and Reel Radio. Go to anglersarsenal.com and visit our online tackle store. See the huge selection of Western Plastics hand-poured baits, all at anglersarsenal.com. Angler's Arsenal Tackle Store is conveniently located in La Mesa, just off Interstate 8. Give us a call at 1-800-428-8730.
Quantum Fishing's gone and done it again for you with the brand new redesigned Smoke PT Reel Series. Everything from your spinning reels all the way to your bait casters, the PTA design has the new PTXA frame. Lighter, stronger, bone-crushing drag. Quantum Fishing, we are performance-tuned. Check them out at Angler's Arsenal in La Mesa or anglersarsenal.com or give us a call at 619-466-8355.
Hi, this is BSS record holder Dean Rojas. El Cajon Ford helped me when I got started in my career, and let them help you with a new F-Series Ford truck. And remember, nobody beats El Cajon Ford.
Stan Woody and I, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. And before we get back to Andy and Jackson Palachek talking about the SoCal Junior Bass Anglers, we want to give a special shout-out to Michael Seawold. Michael, fishing over at Lake Otay, brought in an 11.6 largemouth this past week on a topwater frog. So if that's any indication to go out there and get them, now's the time to do it, guys. Michael, congratulations on that. Your personal best and definitely a fish of a lifetime. Hey,
no kidding.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome on the frog. Awesome.
We are speaking to Andy and Jackson Palachek. And Jackson, I want to ask you, you just fished your last tournament with the Junior Bass Anglers. How did you do? And tell us, what are you looking forward to doing here in the upcoming weeks?
The last tournament we had was our season opener at Lake El Capitan, and I ended up winning that one with a little over 18 pounds for my best five.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you.
That's great.
That's quality right there, buddy.
Yeah, it was a fun time. Caught them early. Caught a lot of them, too. Solid quality fish.
How'd you establish the pattern, Jackson, when if you have a competitor fishing in the boat with you and you have an adult sort of like driving it around, do you point them in the right direction, but you still have to figure out what lures you're going to use and in what situation?
Yeah, correct. There's a shad spawn going on at El Cap right now, and there's a certain area in the back part of the lake where the shad spawn's like a lot heavier than in the other parts of the lake, and the fish are pushing up bait early in the morning on the bank. And so me and my boater had known about this, and we went to that area and we started throwing reaction baits up tight, shallow. Ended up catching my first five fish probably in 30 minutes, and there
wow.
I probably had about like 16 and a half pounds my first five. And I just like the way it works with the other kid on my boat is after I caught my first five, we kind of like started both fishing the same area because I had one area that I was just casting over and over to that was producing most of my fish. Me and him both started casting at that, and we both caught more fish. But after about 9 o'clock, the sun came up and the bite was gone, and we went to worms and like slower moving baits out deeper to try to catch maybe a bigger fish that's out deeper. But we ended up catching one more that culled out one of my smaller fish, and I ended up weighing 18.06 for my best five.
That's wow. good. That's solid bass right there, buddy.
That,
what
no,
were you
Stan,
throwing the first year? That first stop, your reaction bait?
Yeah, lipless crank, or I mean a shallow crankbait.
You know, let me just stop you here. How old are you?
I'm 14 years old.
Stan and Wendy, have you ever heard anyone dissecting a pattern? And this is like listening to Kevin Van Dam, except you don't get that much information even from Kevin because he's afraid to spill the beans because there's another tournament there next week.
You know, the cool part is that you can do that. And that's the best part about this is in the next few years, he's going to be competing against us. And you're going to have to worry about him. That's the other part.
You know, Stan, as we always say, young fishermen like this, they're here to replace us. So we got to.
And that is a great thing.
Right.
I'm so in with this. I can't even tell you, because it's fun to watch the new young guns come up and be successful in the tournament and be able to compete and because somebody's got to start taking care of the industry after we can't.
You're
absolutely
kidding.
And the joke around town is I'm just the taxi and the net man.
Attaboy.
Now, Jackson, mm-hmm. What do you have coming up? Because there's some really significant things that you are looking forward to in the fishing world coming up here in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, we have a couple cool things coming up here. In the following month, I have my state championship at Clear Lake, which is going to be fun. I've never been there before, so I'm looking forward to that. And then,
oh, buddy.
Couple weeks
you're
going to
love it.
I know, I've heard. A couple weeks after that, I have the state championship that I qualified for through the SoCal Junior Bass Anglers Club at Lake Skinner. So that'll be cool as well.
Now, let's talk about the format at Clear Lake. I mean, Clear Lake is not a pond. It's where the big boys mm-hmm. play. I mean, we just had Billy Egan on last week, and he had the California Open there. There were a couple of guys that came in with, you know, 32-pound bags for the best five fish. What's the format of that tournament? Do you know?
The way it works is I can fish that tournament as long as I fish with somebody else in high school. It's an open, so you don't have to qualify for it. So I'm fishing with my buddy Logan that's in high school. And the way it works is we're both going to fish on my dad's boat, and it's a one-day event. How many top spots qualify?
It's a team tournament. The top 10% qualify for nationals, which is later on in the year at Lake Pickwick.
Wow.
So that's
so now, do they have a driver in that boat? Are you driving them, Andy?
I'm driving them for the state championship. The anglers are responsible for bringing a captain, and I was lucky enough to be chosen.
Cool.
Wow. So
that would be great fun.
Yeah.
Andy, you say this is taking up a tremendous amount of time, because what are some of the things that you are doing to keep this engine running for this organization?
Yeah, it's become a full-time job with 50 kids, but it's a labor of love, and I'm having a lot of fun with it, and so I'm not complaining. I've spent a lot of time working with people in the industry and put together quite an impressive sponsor list of people that are back in this program, and I'm going to burn through the list real quick, John.
Go for it.
These people deserve their due. Last weekend, we had the San Diego Anglers Foundation came out and did our barbecue for us at our tournament, so we want to thank those guys. Dedicated 10, Optimum Baits, Hayabusa Fishing Hooks, East County Bait and Tackle, Pernicano's Restaurant, 13 Fishing, Action Jackson Fishing, JMC Baits, Frank Motor Group, Last Chance Performance Marine, Valley Farms, who's putting on our barbecue this upcoming Sunday at Lake Hodges. Cal Coast Fishing gave us cull clips, conservation-minded cull clips.
Nice.
Damiki Fishing Tackle. Triton Carpet and Floor Care, PH Custom Lures, a balsa bait maker, Swim Bait Underground, Butch Brown poured up some custom baits for us for big fish fries, and last but certainly not least, Skeeter Boats. So
great.
We've got an impressive group of companies back in the club, and with the exposure we've gotten and the way things have grown, I have people knocking at my door finally, you know, wanting to get involved. And so, like I said, it's great to see these kids love everything. You know, we give away great prizes at these tournaments, and we couldn't do it without the help of these sponsors. So from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to thank everybody on that list.
We have a lot of young anglers listening out there, Andy. They may have heard of the organization, or this may be the first time they're going, what? What the heck have I been missing? How do they get involved or get a hold of you so that they can maybe stand a shot of getting involved here?
The best way to get in touch with the program and to track the program, to see what's going on and keep a tab on it and see all our results and posted pictures is on Facebook. And the page is SoCal Junior Bass Anglers. And all the information can be there, and I end up posting you know, a heads up when next year's registration meeting is coming up. And so you really want to check in on that, that you want to watch that Facebook page carefully and closely, especially after we get to, after the first of the year for next year's registration. Because this year we're full at this point.
Now, Jackson, you have been around. You fish in a lot of tournaments. You fish against a lot of adults. But when you're fishing the junior bass anglers, is there something different that you kind of come away from each event with that you maybe don't do it when you're fishing one of the other more pro type events?
Yeah, with the way the tournaments work with a random boat draw, you learn a lot from the different anglers, the different boaters. There's a bunch of good sticks out here in San Diego that volunteer their time. So I take something away from each tournament.
You know, and go on, Wendy.
You know, I have to say something. A long time ago when Big Tuna Bill interviewed Woo Dave, after we had him on the air after he won. And Woo, his what he would tell kids is, make sure you go to school, make sure you get good grades, but make sure you take a speech class. And you're more than halfway there because you're a really good speaker, Jackson.
Thank you.
But just remember, down the road, you want to be a professional bass angler, but you're going to also be a businessman. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to learn all that in school and be good in school, but also, be great at fishing, mm-hmm. and make sure that you can walk the walk and talk the talk.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's Thank great you. Advice, Wendy. The last time
you
we
bet.
Had Kevin Van Dam on, he said the same exact thing. Continue your education. Go to school.
Right.
If this is something you think you can excel on, you have to know how to manage it. Because when we had Dean Rojas and his wife Renee on, that's a family business. She's taking care of the books. She's paying the bills. She's making sure that the reservations are made for Dean and hotels that, when he gets to a place, he's got a place to stay. It's a family business. And then one of the big things I run into is trying to justify to the IRS that these expenses are actually for someone making a living and not a hobby. Andy?
All those are great points. And on that note, last year Jackson was able to attend ICAST with us with Optimum Baits. And it was a real eye-opening experience. You got to see how hard those guys work, off the water. And he did a lot of product videos for our company and Tackle Warehouse and all the online retailers. And so he understands. It's like he's seen both sides of the business. And that's all I'm trying to do. That's been my whole goal with Jackson is whether he fishes, professional or chases that dream is his choice. But I want to give him a chance to make a living in the industry doing something he loves.
Many are called, but few are chosen. And we've seen from all the guys that are, wanting to go pro here, we've got out of San Diego just one guy, Dean Rojas, but it's his dedication and his commitment that allowed that to happen. Jackson, we want to wish you absolutely the best luck. If you don't mind, let us keep track of what you're doing and call on you from time to time. We'd love to hear what you do at Clear Lake, especially being there for the first time. And Andy, the same thing with you. If you have a report that you want to give us or whatever it is, we would appreciate that. But Andy, one more time, if there are young fishermen, both male and female, that we're finding out, that want to participate in this program, or if there are adults out there that want to get their kids involved in this, again, how's the best way to contact you?
Through Facebook on SoCal Junior Bass Angler page. On Facebook, personal message me or make a post, and I answer every single one of those messages, and we'll see what we can do to get you prepared for next year. On that note, Jackson also has his own page, Action Jackson Fishing, if you want to keep
Good.
Up with him. So you can follow him there. We're just having a great time with this, John. The looks on these kids' faces and the positive impact we're having, it's a lot of fun and it's a rewarding day. So,
Jackson, before we leave, I've got to ask you, is there anything in particular that you can attribute your success in the short time that you've been fishing, but it seems like we've been interviewing you for years, fishing in tournaments, placing in tournaments. Mm-hmm. What do you credit to your astuteness in picking up fishing the way you have and your success so far?
I would say time on the water and just keep going at it. No matter if you're going to have tough days, you're going to have times where you don't catch fish, times where you lose fish. But the more time you spend on the water, the more time you. And my dad. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and Andy, for sure, we've got to thank you because I know there are days where you much rather be watching the ball game or maybe even going out on a little trip with your wife, but you got a commitment not only to Jackson, but your other son who is mm-hmm. not into fishing, but he's got his own thing too. So you're split up with that.
Absolutely.
It's great. Guys, congratulations on doing this, and we like to keep track of what's happening with the SoCal Junior Bass Anglers. We wish you much success. And if you are a sponsor out here that would like to get involved with some young people doing some great things, please give Andy a call. You can get him on Facebook. You can go to the Facebook page and do it. It'll be very, very rewarding.
Always looking for boaters, too. We need those volunteer boaters.
So. Walk the walk, guys. Hey, Stan, Wendy, and I, we're going to take a break. Coming up next, Captain Frank Orsetti from H&M Landing. We're going to find out what's happening at the landing. And WON's got a big program they're putting on there at the landings that you're going to want to hear about. So stay tuned. There's still a lot more Roy Auden Real Radio to come after these messages.
Are you ready to sell your current boat and upgrade in preparation for the 2017 fishing season? It's sure to be one for the bucks. I'm Zach Zorn, and a broker for Kustler Yachts located in San Diego. As one of the largest and most reputable brokerages on the West Coast, I can assure that your boat will be sold in a timely manner or that your dream boat will be found. If you want to sell your boat or looking to purchase one, call Zach Zorn at Kustler Yachts, 760-815-8866. So that your name can be added to our long list of satisfied buyers and sellers. That's Zach Zorn, 760-815-8866.
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines, including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option, no questions asked, if you're not pleased with any of their products. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket. And make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hey, welcome back to Ron Real Radio. And we want to remind you, this segment of Ron Real Radio is brought to you by the Rockleaf Fish Release System. Now you can release fish back to the depth that they came from safely that are suffering from barotrauma with the Rockleaf Fish Release System. Look for the Rockleaf at your local tackle dealer.
Wendy and I, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Well, let's talk to our next guest and see whether or not we have to bring the Rockleaf with us or if we can be going after the Pelagics. He's the owner-operator of the Ranger 85 and also the one of the managers of H&M Landing, Mr. Frank Orsetti. Frank, welcome to the show.
John, Wendy, Stan, thanks. Always good to be on. How are you tonight?
Well,
Good, good, good.
We're doing great, Frank. But the big thing is what's the latest buzz down at the landings? Because it seems like maybe the tuna are here and then they're not here. And then the yellowtail are here and then they're not here. So bring a little consistency to the story if you can, Frank.
Well, I think consistency is going to come with time, but it's in my book, it seems to me like it's good springtime fish, and the guys have been tapping away at that bluefin offshore, both locally as well as on multi-days, you know, on our day-and-a-half trips. But three-quarter boats have been starting to tap into that as well. There's been a little bit of yellowtail in the mix for the guys offshore as well, both three-quarter day and on those multi-day trips, and we're just wrapping up April, so... In my mind, it's an excellent, excellent sign of what's going to be laid out in front of us here for the upcoming season. So it looks good. It looks real, real good. As far as consistency, we had a little bit of weather to contend with this weekend. So the guys did have a little bit of breeze and had a little bit of swell and came back with mixed scores on the bluefin. I actually anticipated guys were going to come back with a little bit less, but there were still some pretty decent hits. Again, considering it's springtime bluefin fishing.
Well, just the fact that they found them early and you can get on them now instead of waiting until June or July is huge. I mean, that is
right. To be able to consistently get on that fish. And we've been doing this now for about 3 weeks to be able to consistently land up on that fish this time of year bodes well in my book.
And the fact that they stuck around here in our arena for the year, and they've been feeding for that whole season, and they're going to be a bigger fish this year too. It should be an interesting season.
I you know, in all the during the shows in March, I talked to a lot of guys and I a lot of gals, a lot of anglers, and I have no doubt that we're going to see that 400 make the scale this year. I have no doubt that we'll see a fish crest 400.
Oh my,
I totally agree with you. You know, it seems like every year they add like 100 pounds. So I would say 300 and 400 pounders.
Well, for sure. We'll see. We'll definitely see more consistent threes, but I feel real confident we're going to see that fish that's over four.
Well, Frank, I think as we've seen over the seasons, it's one thing to hook up that cow or that fish of a lifetime, but it's another thing to bring them in. Right now with the guys going out on, let's say, the overnight, the 2 days, the two-and-a-half-day trip, we're not talking about the long-range trips right now, what are you suggesting they bring and – how are they hooking up with some of these fish during the course of the day?
That's a really good question, and the key to it right now is absolute diversity of tackle. I don't care if you're on you're fishing a three-quarter day offshore trip or if you're on a day and a half or a two-day trip right now. You want to be prepared to fish bait, so I'd have something in the 30-pound class you're able to fly a line of bait with. I'd have something in the mid-range, maybe some 60, 50, 60-pound, and I definitely would be packing some 80 or 100. Guys are catching fish on flatfalls. The last few days, it's been primarily bait fish that the guys have been seeing, so and has been the successful setup. So fishing something like 30-pound to 2-odd hook, maybe a small fluorocarbon top shot. But then also there were some flatfall fish that were caught. It seemed to be a better ratio of bait fish the last few days, or a higher ratio of bait fish the last few days than it was fish being caught on the jig. So,
hey,
but
Frank,
I would come diversified. Yeah, Wendy.
Do you happen to know how deep are they dropping the flatfalls and what colors are working best? Is it the glow?
You know, I can't answer that, and I would love to be able to answer that. And I tried to get a little bit more info just before the show from the guys that returned home this morning. But I wouldn't even venture. I would say normal stuff. So if the guys are on that fish in the gray light or in the dark, it's going to be a little bit deeper fish. I know that some of that fish they're getting on the last few days are eyeball fish or on bird schools, and that stuff's up.
Well, you know, I can go on. Just one thing, Stan. I can tell you one thing, though. When you get to the landing, you stop by and see Rick Morin, or you stop by and see Dady Wade, and I can tell you what. They've got their hands on the pulse on what's happening, and they can definitely point you in the right direction.
You know, the other part is you're up on it.
I was going to say the really positive part of this is last year, this time, they weren't, that fish was not on the bait. They're eating noceums and that mini anchovy that was down there. To actually have fish on the bait early is a pretty good sign of what's to come.
Absolutely, Stan. I remember, you know, it seemed like almost for the first 2 months of the season, it was more of an exercise in frustration. You'd have 10 tough trips to one really good, absolute barn burner, but that fish was just on all that micro feed that it was so, so tough. But the last, you know, the last 2 weeks, guys have been successfully putting together catches. Now, we're not talking 100 fish catches, but there's boats that see, I think one boat got in this morning, had 25 fish or 27 fish for a day and a half. Other guys had a handful, but there's mixed yellows with it, and there's action and activity, whether you land up on a school that wants to play. There's other stuff. There's, you know, diversionary fishing going on as well. So
plus, there's a lot of wrecks involved in that.
Outdoor fishing.
Yeah, you know, we had heard from some of the skippers a few weeks ago that the Sanders were coming in. They were kind of mixing up the schools, and then we had Captain Chuck Taft on with us from Sea Adventure Sports Fishing out of H&M on with us, and he said, man, let those seniors get out and catch all they can because they're close to their quotas, and once they hit their quotas, they're going to leave those upcoming schools alone, and he thinks that that's going to open up the gate, and we might be in for another great season of fishing. What do you think about that critique, Frank?
That's absolutely accurate, and they're going to, once they get their quota, once they meet their quota, then they're off that fish. When we're trying to coexist with that fleet, it's difficult. There's a lot of mesh, a lot of chain that's going in the water, and it spooks that fish, and it makes it really, really difficult for the recreational fleet, for the recreational angler to connect. But if we're out there fishing, if we're out there rod and reel fishing versus having all that mesh and chain going in the water, it's a world of difference, and I would concur with that. Those guys are fishing and fishing successfully right now, and if they do meet their quota, again, something else that bodes well for us.
Well, you know, let's just go to another topic real quick. You've gotten together with Western Outdoor News and put together a program for not only H&M Landing, but you've tried to also bring in the other landings. When it comes to a one-day event that last year seemed to be really successful, you want to tell us about that?
The old Battle of the Basin's heating up. It's going to be pretty good. Again, H&M versus Point Loma and Fisherman's Landing. We've got a, what are we after right now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 boat lineup at H&M this year from the Producer, the Ranger 85, the Mustang, Ocean Odyssey, Old Glory, Daiwa Pacific, Chief. All battling it out between Point Loma and Fisherman's Landing for upwards to about $10,000 in cash and prizes. And I think with this bluefin around, it's going to be another super exciting one-day tournament. It's going to be great.
Well, tell us about the format. How are they competing against each other?
So it's a one-day trip. Shotgun start. We depart at 9 p.m. and weigh in. You have to be back in the following evening, so everybody's got to hit the scale back at the dock no later than 7 o'clock on the night of the 29th, and largest takes it. So last year, actually, H&M Landing held the perpetual trophy 2 years in a row, and Marcus on the new Loan managed to sneak it away from us last year, but guaranteed that thing's going to be riding in Point Loma's trophy, or excuse me, in H&M trophy case this year.
Well, you know, Frank, it is just incredible to think. I don't know how many businesses in San Diego can say that they have been here for 83 years, and especially doing a service like H&M Landing does. But it's incredible. H&M Landing was 83 years old this year.
It's truly truly an honor to be a part of H&M Landing, especially with the long, long and strong history that that our fleet has had and continues to. And it, to me, it's a real honor as I travel or go anywhere the name recognition that H&M Landing has. I was recently, last week, took a couple days off and went out or went back east to the Grand Canyon. And several places that I went, between Williams, Arizona, and even down to Sedona, people had seen me with a shirt on and knew H&M Landing. When I've been back east visiting family on the East Coast, people talk about H&M Landing. It's pretty incredible. 83 years and still going very, very strong.
Well, you know, on behalf of all the fishermen of Southern California and beyond, we also have to thank you for the effort that you put in through the San Diego Sports Fishing Council to get the day at the docks going the way it is, because what a tremendous open house that is for the general public to come in and just see what this world-class sports fishery that is that we have here in San Diego at the Landings. It's truly incredible, and I don't think there was any loss of people coming this year over previous years.
No, definitely not, and I thank you, and you actually beat me to the punch. And before I got on the show here tonight, I wanted to make sure, before I get off, I wanted to make sure that I thank you and I thank Wendy for the tremendous job that you do emceeing that entire day and that entire event. This year was, I thought it was a lot of fun. The weather was beautiful. It was a nonstop flow of anglers, both tenured and new, and it was just a really, really fun event this year. I thank both of you for working so hard and the effort that you put into it, that's for sure.
Actually, Frank, we do it out of fright because of the fact that we're afraid of dead air. So Wendy and I just keep on talking.
Wait, I think Stan was laughing so hard. Did you say were you trying to give me an address to send a check to?
No. We do it out of fright. It's self-preservation, and the deal is, you know, we feel like we're part of the community, and there's nothing better than we can do to get on television or Wendy and I to get on the speakers and to tote the attributes of the Landings down there off of Scott Street, because, man, you guys have worked hard to put in a world-class fishery there.
Well, there's so much history that goes along with that event, and truly Catherine Miller is the unsung hero. But there's so much that goes into putting that whole event on, from every one of the boat owners, their crews, the Landings, all of Catherine's staff, both volunteer and some who are paid very little to do the job that they do for that event. And it is, without a doubt, the biggest, best, most exciting one-day event that showcases San Diego sport fishing, Southern California sport fishing, for that matter, anywhere it is. It's incredible. It really is.
Well, you know, Frank, I know you have one of the most up-to-the-date online reservation systems there is, but if people want to check out the boats, what's happening, the crews, what trips going out where, when, how's the best way to go about doing it?
There's only one website that you need to know. That's hmlanding.com. You can go there. You can check out our breaking news and see what's going on up to date late, and you can reserve your trip directly online just by clicking on the trip calendar. You can filter down by length or by boat, or just look at each and every day what's available. hmlanding.com, or you can give us a call at 619-222-1144.
And, Frank, it seems like you're making a good thing even better, bringing aboard the Prowler as your three-quarter day boat. And then I don't know what the heck he's thinking, but Chuck Taft over at Sea Adventure Sports Fishing, he's on to a new boat, the Excalibur, which sounds like it's going to be a pretty sweet ride.
Hold on now. We got to get you straight. So we've got the Grande. The Prowler disappeared out of Fisherman's Landing. I'm not quite sure where they ended up.
Yeah, the Grande. I'm sorry about that.
Say,
yeah.
But
holy mackerel.
We've got the Grande getting ready to go. In fact, their first trip is scheduled May 21. But with this fish that's starting to bite offshore, I think the guys have been burning the midnight oil. We might even get them online a little bit earlier than that. We're very, very excited to have James McDaniels and Steve Peterson at H&M Landing with the Grande as our focal three-quarter day boat, our primary three-quarter day boat. I mean, they're there isn't a better boat. It's so, I mean, it's incredible.
85
feet of pure sport fishing fury. We can't wait. Chuck, definitely, with his project, we can't wait. He looks like he's going to be ready to go by early July. Another 75 by 26-foot boat. I mean, the boat's going to be an incredible 1 to 3 day boat at the landing. And, you know, Chuck, he's putting his heart and soul into it. I was just over there at the boatyard with him yesterday. And what an incredible job. He's got a whole lot of work left in front of him, but the boat's just going to be a beauty when he's finished up. It's going to be incredible.
All right.
You know, the best part of this is you're talking about, you know, we're going to go out 3/4 days and catch tuna. For real?
Right. Right.
That is absolutely, you know, because growing up and fishing all of the Southern California coastline and all of the different boats, 3/4 day tuna fishing was never an option.
All right. Hey, guys, we got to get down the road over here. But, Frank, thank you very much for spending some time with us. And please allow us to check in with you time to time as the season, you know, we get deeper into the season, just, you know, get an up-to-date report on exactly what's happening offshore here.
Always glad to be on the show. I really appreciate you guys squeezing me in without a doubt. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you, Frank.
That was Frank Orsetti, owner-operator of the Ranger 85. Hey, we're going to take a break right now. Coming up next, talking about squeezing things in, we're going to try to get in an up-to-the-date report on what's been happening up into the Eastern Sierras from Bridgeport to Crowley Lake. But first, you have to listen to these messages. We'll be back just in a bit.
You can count on El Cajon Ford, as so many Southern Californians have for years. El Cajon Ford has the cars and trucks you can count on, like the all-new Fusion and Escape, Edge, Explorers, and more. And now, Fiestas with 38 MPG and Focus with 40 miles per gallon highway, plus C-Max Energy with up to 42 highway EPA estimates. El Cajon Ford has them now. Shop online at elcajonford.com. Choose from hundreds of your favorite F-Series trucks, too. El Cajon Ford knows trucks, no matter what you're hauling or towing, for a great weekend of fishing or for some fun in the desert. Now get special savings on every F-Series truck in stock, 150s, 250s, 350s, at El Cajon Ford. We have commercial trucks too, including the all-new Transit Connect, finally a commercial van with great mileage, helping your business get moving again. El Cajon Ford, worth the short drive from anywhere in Southern California, Broadway and East Main in El Cajon, or online anytime, anywhere at elcajonford.com.
He's not just my fishing buddy. After 30 years, he's a brother, and I'd sure hate to lose him. His bass boat's got nothing to do with it, so I make sure both of us wear a life jacket. Save the ones you love, even if they don't own a fancy boat. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Quantum Fishing's gone and done it again for you with the brand new redesigned Smoke PT Reel Series. Everything from your spinning reels all the way to your bait casters, the PTA design has the new PTXA frame. Lighter, stronger, bone-crushing drag. Quantum Fishing. We are performance-tuned. Check them out at Angler's Arsenal in La Mesa or anglersarsenal.com or give us a call at 619-466-8355.
Attention Rod and Reel Radio listeners. Be sure to check out the Code Group mobile app. You can listen to the Rod and Reel Radio show live along with show archives without internet access. The Code Group app has all kinds of cool features for fishermen, including daily Southern California saltwater reports, weather reports, episodes of Inside Sport Fishing, marine traffic, and much more. Get the free Code Group mobile app by texting the word REEL, R-E-E-L, to 90407, or enter the words Code Group in the App Store on your smartphone.
It's a big deal. You know, I've always wanted to be on Rod and Reel Radio. I won the Bassmaster Classic. I did a McDonald's commercial, but now I know I've made it. I fulfilled my dream. That is just absolutely awesome.
Hey, Stan, Wendy, and I, we do want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Hey, last week we told you about the anticipation of the opening up of the trout season in the Sierras. This week, Stan has put together a couple of guests for us to actually tell us what the realization is. So, Stan, you want to introduce the first guest that we have?
You betcha. You know, this just looked like it was going to be a barn burner for an opener for the trout season. So, first off, we're going to go up to Bridgeport and find out what happened in the arena up there and talk to Jim Reed at Ken's Sporting Goods. And Ken, I mean, Jim, how is it, the fishing this week?
Well, I hate to be thinking your listeners are going to think I'm fibbing, but we burned the barn down. It's been just an amazing weekend.
Was there ever any doubt at all that you were going to do that, Jim?
Well, you know, you never really know until people start bending rods everywhere. But it's usually pretty good. But, boy, this time it was just amazing.
And what do you accredit that for, sir? Was it the weather, number of fishermen out there, all the great lures that you have there at Kent Sporting Goods that you sold people that the fish couldn't resist them, or what?
Well, I don't think I had anything to do with it per se, but, you know, the weather, the lakes have been thawed out. Twin Lakes and Bridgeport Lake have been thawed out for several months now. Water temperatures are higher than they normally are for this time of year. I think that had a lot to do with it. A lot of people were worried about the full moon coming on, but that didn't seem to have any effect at all. Plus, all the lakes are full. All the streams are running good, not too high, but high enough so fish are spread out. They're, you know, holding everywhere. The lakes are all full, so there's a ton of food in the water. It just kind of, everything was a perfect storm for the good side for a change.
Okay. So what were the scores, I mean, between the upper and lower Twin and the reservoir? You have a lot of potential there for big fish.
We do. We actually, yesterday I was a little nervous because we hadn't seen a double-digit brown yet, but by golly, today we had a young lady bring in an 11-14 off a lower Twin that she actually caught from the shore, which was really cool.
Really?
Right about, I think it was about a 30 or 31-incher. Yeah, so that was the highlight of today.
What'd she get that
yesterday
on,
we
know?
we had an 8-3 rainbow out of Bridgeport, 7-10 rainbow out of Bridgeport. Saw a couple 6-pound browns. The twins kicked out another 9.5-pound brown. Actually saw about an 11-pound brown caught and released out of the East Walker.
Really?
Boy, it was just killer.
How many threes and fours were there?
Oh, my gosh. I wouldn't even venture to guess. I mean, just, I would have to say hundreds. I mean, 3, 4, 5-pounders were just coming in for pictures all day long.
Wow. Now, understand that there was actually something special about that big fish that was caught in the in the lower Twin Lakes there, that there's a little story behind that. What do you know that you need to tell us, Jim?
Well, I don't know a whole lot. Apparently, the gal, it was only her second time fishing ever. She was casting some bait from the shore, and the big boy took it, and I don't know how long it took her to play it, you know, to get it in. Apparently, it had about a 6 or 7 inch swim bait in its mouth that somebody had already broken off. So somebody that was probably trolling with a big old, you know, rainbow trout looking lure lost that fish, and then this young gal was able to bag it. So
and what pretty, what did she catch it on?
Well, she caught it on power bait.
Oh, wouldn't you know?
Wouldn't you know? It doesn't happen very often, but it does happen.
Oh, and you. And how big, 11-pound brown on power bait and a jerk bait stuck in his face.
Yep, a big one, too. Like bigger bigger than your hand.
When it's your time, it's your time. That's all I got to say.
That's right. that young lady must have pleased the fish gods for this weekend.
Well, there was amazing. There was another significant catch that happened on a power bait, too, that the last time I heard, this is the first time I heard about that brown, and that is incredible. But up until, you know, the time I could gather information, this had been one of the biggest catches, you know, up there. And that also came on a power bait, and that was by a fellow by the name of Justin. Do you know the story about that?
Justin Bales, yeah. He caught a 8-3 yesterday off of upper Twin on power bait also, yeah. Justin, I'm not sure exactly how old he is, but he's probably I don't know, 14 or 15 years old. Nice young man. He's all smiles in his pictures, too.
That fish was one of your fish that you planted from the conservancy up there, the trout conservancy?
Yeah, that was a Fish Enhancement Foundation fish. It had a tag in it. So he ended up getting a free entry into their derby coming up in June, so that's pretty good.
That's cool.
The other thing, Stan and Jim and Wendy, that I heard is that was a holdover from 2017, so it probably had a chance to bulk up a little bit.
Yeah, I believe that fish did have a green tag, which was from last year. This year's tags are a different color now. And it is a big fatty, too. Beautiful-looking fish.
You know, from the number of fish that are caught up there, what do you think is the percentage of the fish that are caught, and what percentage could be holdover and die off? Has anyone done any studies on that?
I don't know of any studies per se. I can tell you that this weekend we had about 45 or 50 tagged fish come in, and about three or four of those were from last year. And, you know, I think we actually had one come in from 2 years ago that we couldn't even read the tag on, but we could tell it was a white tag that was the color from a couple years ago.
That's pretty cool.
Now, with regards to flows and water levels and everything like that, because always in fishing, you know, water level is important. Is there an anticipation on how long you'll have good runoff and then when it really starts to die down there?
The runoff hasn't really even started too much yet, so that's why these rivers are still running pretty clear, the ones coming off the mountain. I'm thinking we're going to have pretty good stream flows, but not overwhelming, probably through May, maybe a week or so into June even.
Wow.
Wow.
That is pretty exciting. You know, Jim, if people want to get a hold of you and find out what's happening or anything, how can they get a hold of you? And then in general, to find out about accommodations and reservations and things like that, how's the best way for people to find out what's happening up there in Bridgeport?
They can give us a ring right here on the phone. Is 760-932-7707. Or we've got a lot of good pictures and stuff on our website, which is kenssport.com, two S's in the middle. And then the Chamber of Commerce has a really good website with a lot of information on motels and campgrounds and that kind of stuff. And that's just bridgeportcalifornia.com, all spelled out.
And, Jim, just before you leave, we know we talked about power baits, but is there one just must-have lure that a fisherman should bring with him, besides a rabbit's foot, to catch fish up there?
You know, day in and day out, I'm a big fan of Rapalas. You know, a hot steel Rapala or a rainbow trout-colored Rapala, you just can't beat them.
All right. Jim Reed from Kent Sporting Good up in the Bridgeport area. Kent, thank you so much, and continued success. And please allow us to keep in contact with you so you can, you know, let our listeners know on just the great fishing and really the experience that people can experience up there, because there's many facets to it. There's the fishing, but there's also great scenery and then the hospitality of the people up there. It's a great getaway.
Yeah, you just give us a call anytime you want. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Hey, Stan, we've been trying to get a hold of Adam up at Crowley Lake and June Lake, and unfortunately we can not make contact with him. And I'm going to imagine that this has been a pretty busy weekend for him.
Well, you know, I know that they were up to their eyeballs because they had a large crowd. They anticipated nothing but great fishing because they've had so much stocking from at the end of the year and the end of the season last year, and then because the lake was thawed early or never really froze, they had a place to put all that stuff from Hot Creek, and literally they ended up dumping Hot Creek hatchery into the lake, and they had some other fish and game stuff, plus some of the conservancies or trout conservancies up there. I know they put some bait in there too, I mean some fish in there too, so I know that the fishing was good. We just had, I don't know how good, and I haven't heard reports from the group yet.
All right. And, you know, Stan, one thing that people are going to be confronted with, and especially people that might be going up there for the first time in a long time because the weather is so good that they're going, okay, I'm going to take the family, going to put the boat on the trailer. We're going to go up there and have a great time. But there is a particular protocol that they've got to follow with regards to their boat. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is, especially people that might be unsuspecting that they've got to go through this procedure?
Well, you know, they've got the quagga check at a lot of the lakes in California now, and they're doing that at Crowley also. So if you've got a boat that you're going to take up and you're going to put in a Crowley, make sure it's what we call clean and dry. So vacuum it out, clean it out, wipe it out. Don't have a lot of dust. You can't have a lot of any debris on your trailer, like if you put it into the water and you've got some aquatic weed hanging off your trailer, or even your grass weed. They don't want anything hanging off the trailer, so it's a clean and dry situation when you come to the lake, and they don't have to worry about whether you are coming from a lake that has quagga infestation. And a lot of times what they'll do is they want you to drop your motor and make sure that there's no water in your motor. So my call is stop in Bishop, find a gas station, drop your motor, and hit the air place where you fill up your tires and get an air hose and blow out the bottom end of your lower unit there to just make sure that there's no water when they drop it. That's an easy way to get through that part. And then, you know, anything that's in your sump, you don't want a greasy, oily mess down there, obviously, but you don't want any water in your sump either because they'll pull the plug. A lot of times they'll push something up in there to find out if there's any moisture in there, too. They don't necessarily do that at Crowley, but they've done that at other places. So just, you know, take a little time and clean up the boat before you go up there. You won't have a problem.
Yeah, make sure, you know, that outdrive, too, that you have that thing go up and down a couple of times because there can be water in there from, you know, a year ago. And yeah, you might think you've drained it out the first time, so then you put it back up on the transom saver and you say, I'm safe. And then you go through the inspection. That outdrive comes down, and all of a sudden it's drip, drip, drip. And the next thing you know is you've dragged a boat, I don't know how many hundreds of miles it was, to get to where you've got to be, and you can't put it on the water. And that is indeed a tad bit disappointing.
It is, but that's part of what we have to deal with. And they're just looking for, they don't want the contamination in the lake. And that's usually your bigger boats. Crowley, it pulls a lot of boats 16 feet or better up into that arena because Crowley can get pretty rough. The smaller lakes up there, they're not as attentive to that. You know, they're not feeding not water for the L.A. area that comes out of Crowley and down the Owens River like that. But still, you know, it's always a good idea to just make sure your boat's clean and dry, whether you're going to Crowley or any of the other environmental lakes up there. That we got to keep us safe.
Right. And Stan, since unfortunately we weren't able to get a hold of Adam for Crowley Lake and the June Lake Loop, you can just go to Crowley Lake Marina, their website, or June Lake Marina and get a hold of them. And when you give them a call, you will get a live individual and find out what's happening up there.
Well, that's true. If you call Crowley Lake proper and you ask them, you know, or tell them you're kind of coming up there, they have instant information because they get a lot of people coming in and out to tell them, you know, hey, we just caught fish and we caught them on this. You've got, you know, a lot of the guys that are guides up there, they give the information also. So if you're running through the area or you're planning to go up there, maybe you want to rent a boat from them. You have people coming in. You can even stay at the lake. They've got cabins now built there that you can actually rent from them and stay there and rent a boat if you need. But you can always call Crowley Lake. Their phone number is 760-935-4301. and they'll give you up-to-date information of what they expect. You know, if you're going to bring lead core line and use your own boat or rent their boats and you want to troll, they can tell you how many colors to drop it back and what lures to use. And if you want to go fly fishing, there's several guides up there that if you've never tried that, that is a blast. You'd have a great time, have a guide for a half a day and learn how to do something you've never done before.
Well, Stan, it sounds like this is the time that if you're thinking about going up to the Eastern Sierras with Crowley Lake, June Lake, and Bridgeport to do it, to go on up there and experience that type of fishing, because it's completely different than anything we see down here in our put-and-take program in Southern California. Hey, guys, we got a break right now, so let's do that. Scheduled next coming up is Mr. Michael Morrison from 22nd Street up out of Los Angeles area. We're going to find out what's happening a little bit further north, if there's a bite that we're seeing down here, and find out more about 22nd Street after these messages. We'll be right back.
I like rafting. I love whitewater. But I never forget that snowmelt in the river can cause cold water shock. I wear a life jacket always. Anyone with me has got to do the same. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
Hey everybody, this is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fish at Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419, or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419 or their website of cedrosoutdooradventures.com.
I got a garage full of fishing tackle, and every time I get out on the water, I realize I forgot something important. But I never forget my life jacket. I make sure my buddies wear theirs, too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hi, it's Tony Gwynn. Nobody treats you better. Nobody beats Elkhorn Ford.
Hi, it's Tony Gwynn Jr. For years, my dad said it so often. Nobody beats Elkhorn Ford, and nobody treats you better. And that's so true. Now I am proud to join the Elkhorn Ford team because with them, it's all about family. They treat you right. You're part of our family at Elkhorn Ford.
Thanks, Tony. We'll see you at Broadway in East Main and ElkhornFord.com.
Hey, Stan, Wendy, and I, we do want to welcome you back to Rod Reel Radio. Hey, we want to give a special shout-out to Mark Nuys. Mark is the leader for the first weekend in the 2018 International Yellowtail Derby. Fishing off his private boat, he picked up a 35.5-pound yellowtail to throw down the gauntlet to all the other participants in this event. To go out there and get them. You know, if you're not signed up for the International Yellowtail Derby, you still have time. Just go to internationalyellowtailderby.com, or you can call John Campbell. He'll sign you on up. We still have another 36 days to go, but there is a cache of prizes and fun time to be had. So, Mark, congratulations. 35.5 pounds. Is a pretty good start for the first weekend.
Fish.
Yeah, isn't that?
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's big.
Hey, Stan and Woody, I want to welcome back to the show. He's with 22nd Street Landing up there in the Los Angeles area. Mr. Michael Morrison to find out what's happening. Michael, good Sunday evening to you. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Oh,
excellent.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Wendy. How are you?
Doing great. I hear you guys got some yellowtail in the local area.
Yeah. Native Sun had a good lick today. I think they went 15 for 30. Kind of bit just about everything. I was chatted up with Aaron and he was walking off the boat. He said, I think that Joe from SoCal Salties, he caught him on the flat ball metal-y jigs. Couple yo-yo jigs, fly line sardine, frozen squid. They wanted a bite, the school that they found today. So that's pretty darn cool. Water's still really cold, and, you know, it's if the water temperature bumps up a few, I'm sure it's going to bite for most everyone and everywhere. Everybody's seeing fish. Just got to get it to get with it.
How far are they having to go to get on out there, Michael? Are we talking within three-quarter day range, or should you be budgeting more time, or what?
That was a three-quarter day. That's the 7-4 run. They'll fish just about anywhere. They were seeing fish local, down the beach a little bit, and a little bit at the island. Good cod fishing in the bay. Great rock fishing across the board for the whole fleet. Overnight, Catalina, local, you name it. Rock fishing's just off the charts. Last time out with the Freedom, I'm pretty sure they fished San Nick, but I wasn't there, so, and we don't really tell you where they're at anyways. But, they had good sign of just about everything, pretty decent size, 8 to 20-pound yellowtail. And they were eating the fin bait, which was cool, because there's an abundance of sardines around. Not too much for anchovies, but sardines is on the bait list right now.
So
that's great that it's going that well right now.
Yeah, no, it's a good it just signs with the completely adverse conditions. It stuff wants to bite.
You know, Michael, the one thing really nice about where your landing is located, 22nd Street, is that you have really a variety of places to fan out and go to that we don't necessarily see down here at the San Diego landings. I mean, you've got the Channel Islands, you've got San Clemente, you've got Catalina. I mean, it's just a matter of what type of a boat you want to get on and get the right trip and go and target the fish that you really want to go after.
Yeah, this weather's kept the overnight fleet in for the most part. I know the Ultra snuck out on a trip. But it's kept the Freedom at the dock. They want to fish these outer islands. We get to fish Clemente, Santa Barbara, San Nick, Tanner even on an overnight. Jeff's done that a few times in the past. The offshore scenes between here and the islands is pretty phenomenal. But just overnight fishing in any direction, we're very, very fortunate to be where we're at. We got a good direction when the weather's right to just about anywhere. And we're real close to the harbor.
The cool thing is with this fish, the tuna that have moved in and they were outside, just outside the islands, became part of your target zone for the last year or so too, which really is different for this far north.
Oh yeah, completely. We were fishing in our backyard pretty much all season. It's got a lot of the long range boats fishing right alongside our overnight boat. We were very lucky to have this warm water and all the life for the fish to eat. There's still red crab around just about everywhere. I mean, I don't know if the get a little bit of a break in this wind. It'd be nice to go out and check stuff out. But a lot of my local buddies, you know, they're seeing fish all over. Got a few commercial guys going back and forth to the islands. Like, oh, well, we found tuna in 54-degree water. That's kind of cool.
Wow. Well, you know, that is really cool. God, it would be, I'm speaking out of whack here, thinking out loud is if the albacore would show up, if that colder water is out there and the bluefin are in, a lot of times in the years, this is years ago, they used to mix that up pretty good. So
Oh, yeah.
That would be fun to
that
see.
That A word that everybody talks about. I'd like to see that, too.
Yeah. You know, a lot of kids today don't even know what the A word is.
Yeah.
There's a decade of people that don't know what the A word even means.
What's the A word? It's albacore. What is
yeah.
that?
That's right.
Not only that, but fishing for between the mainland and Catalina Island there in the straits when the fishing at times was really good, and when they come in like that, man, is that a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm 34 years old. I don't recall doing it, and they're just sitting in front of you know, Mark Pisano and Paul Strasser and Greg Watson and all these guys that've been doing this, you know, before time. You know, just hearing the stories about it, I'd like to see the new angler, you know, have to learn how to target these things. But everybody would probably get with it. I'm sure they'll eat those Colt snipers and mega baits and stuff just as well too. You won't have to fish a size six hook.
That fish will eat that small iron left and right. I mean, everybody used to say they don't, but they do.
Yeah, Roger. Because I know you fish them up north a little bit, but like I said, I haven't done it. So.
Well, Michael, there's a lot of young listeners out there that are just, you know, saltwater crazy, like you mentioned, the saltwater crew and everything. May not be familiar with some of the vessels that are running out of 22nd Street and just exactly what type of trips they offer. Can you just briefly give us a rundown so that we're a little better educated on that?
Yeah, all this is on my website at 22ndstreet.com. We have, I'll just start off, the first boat out every day is the Pursuit Catalina Island 6-6. Pretty sweet. Get to fish around the island every day unless there's something a little offshore or just a full ripper bite local. They will fish Catalina every day of the Pursuit. Second boat off the docks, the Monte Carlo. It's a 10-4 Monday through Friday. Local rock fishing, bass, barracuda, bonito, whatever comes into the horseshoe. They're doing double half days on the weekend, 6:30, 12:30, and twilights on Fridays and Saturdays. We have the Native Son that had the big hit today, 7-4. It's a freelance boat. They'll fish anywhere up and down the coast and Catalina. And we have the Freedom. They are back online. If you haven't been on the boat, you should check it out. It's pretty rad. They put a lot of money into it the last few years. That is our overnight boat. Our 10 o'clock island freelance offshore multi-day kind of deal. We also have the Fortunes back up here. They're going to be doing day and a half trips pretty much till they go back down to San Diego in the end of July. And then we also have the Chief up here is going to run the multi-day schedule and fill in for the Freedom when they're sold out. But that's pretty cool. And Rick's in the yard right now. I'm the Chief. He's dumping a bunch of money into it, but he'll be back the first week of May. So we have the Pursuit, the Monte Carlo, the Native Son, the Freedom, the Fortune, the Chief, the Ultra, and the Outrider. Those are all the big namers up here. And they're super young, hungry crew. Just,
you got it.
It's
Michael,
pretty incredible what we have.
The best
that's
way
a lot of talent.
You got it. The best way to awesome. Get a hold of you to – book a trip, find out what's happening. How is that?
You want to go to 22ndstreet.com, check out our Instagram, our Facebook, our email list. 22nd Street will be the best source, but you can always call us at 310-832-8304 if you want to chat it up with someone in the office. Plenty of people sitting around and ready to talk to you.
All right. Michael, let's check in with you from time to time, if you allow us, just to find out how things are heating up over there. Or if you've got a report, get a hold of us, because we love to have you on and find out what's happening up there in the northern lands.
Yeah, no, we're going to give it hell this year for sure. Everybody's all ready to go, waiting for the breeze to go away. So it's a standard year in April, Wendy.
All right. Michael, thanks a lot for being with us. Good luck up there, and go out there and get him, please.
Thanks for having me. Have a good night.
See you, Michael.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye, guys.
Hey, that was Michael Morrison, owner, one of the co-owners of 22nd Street Landing. And hey, coming up next, though, we've got Eric Sauerwein from Tomahawk Sports Fishing. Eric, just came back this morning from a day and a half trip. Let's find out what he did. But first, you're going to have to endure a few more commercials. But Stan and Wendy will be back as soon as we can with more Rod and Reel Radio.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket. And make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hey bass fishermen, who do you call for your bass boat insurance? Well, if you're not calling me at 1-800-BASS-BOAT for your boat insurance, you're probably paying too much and may not have the coverage that you need. In 1974, I developed the Bass Boat Program that is what all the pros use today. The reason? No depreciation or any partial claim for your hull, your big motor, your trolling motor, or your electronics until your boat's 10 years old. That's right, you only pay $250 to get your boat on the water for any partial claim, and we still pay a stated value replacement cost for your boat if you have a total loss. We're the only people in the industry that does that, and that's why we are the choice of the pros. So if you want the best, forget the rest. Just call 1-800-BASS-BOAT. Call 1-800-227-7262 or just spell Bass Boat. 1-800-BASS-BOAT. I know there's too many letters, but the T is free and the call's on me. That's 1-800-BASS-BOAT, the choice of the pros for bass boat insurance. For more information, log on to 1-800-BASS-BOAT.com.
Rod and Reel Radio is now available as a podcast you can subscribe to on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcasting app. Get notified as soon as new episodes are available, or go back and listen to our past shows. Browse through all of our archive shows at rodandreelradio.com/archives, and click the subscribe button to get started listening now.
Music a minute before. Hey, Stan and Wendy, want to welcome you back along with Hopalong to Rod and Reel Radio. Thanks a lot for listening tonight. It's been a great show, but I think we've saved the best for last. We actually have one of the skippers that was out this past weekend in the weather that happened to come on up to see just what those bluefin tuna. Let's find out what he found out when he was out there. Owner-operator of Tomahawk Sports Fishing, Eric Sauerwein. Captain Eric, welcome to the show, sir.
Hello, guys. How are you?
We are good. We are doing great. But the thing is, how'd you do this weekend? What'd you learn that we need to know?
Well, this season's definitely coming together. You know, it's always a learning curve. Unfortunately, we came back with zero bluefin, but we had a few shots. Caught a bunch of bonita and some yellowtail. And, you know, we had some schools, they just didn't want to go, and that weather, you know, in the afternoon turned brutal and almost made it unfishable. But the good news, I mean, there's fish 20 to 40 miles from San Diego. You know, the further south you go, the longer trip you can go, the better they're going to bite. You know, we chose to stay close about 40 miles this weekend because of the forecasted weather. And a few boats caught one or two, and we pretty much found the same thing. We had one shot at them off a paddy. They're boiling on all around the boat, but we just couldn't get them to go. And they looked about 40 to 80 pounders. So we searched all day, ended up with a bunch of bonita and some yellowtail for our 15 passengers.
Wow, that's pretty good. One, you know, I know we're always talking about the glamour fish, the yellowtail, and the tuna, but this maybe the year of really the big bonita coming back in. We've seen some nice fish. What have you experienced, Eric?
Well, yesterday we saw actually miles of bonita, large schools of about eight to pushing 15-pound fish. A few times the passengers that hooked up said that it felt like a bluefin, and everyone got excited. They thought they had a bluefin. Come to find out, you know, they reeled in a 12-pound bony. So definitely big fish, big bonita, and a lot of them. So if you love bonita, they are out there.
It's really good smoke.
Yeah, very good smoke. Just bleed them right away.
Yep. You know, the other part, I'll give you another part of that. You know, bonita will be a good-sized bonita will get eaten by a really big bluefin.
Yes.
Well, you know what, though? When it comes to eating bonita, if you bleed it right away and put it on ice, it makes really good pokey.
I've never had bonita pokey.
Had bonita and bluefin bonita and skipjack sashimi that you would have swore was bluefin.
Yep, that's right.
Well, you know, Eric, you know, Stan and I, obviously, we've been around a little while, so you youngsters don't necessarily remember that. But there was a time when people would catch bonita, and you'd throw them in the gunny sacks, and they try to keep them cool by evaporation. And by the time you'd get it back on the dock or you'd get it home, you did not have the best of product. But in this day and age, with the crews that you have that treat the fish the way they do, that's not as big of a problem as it used to be.
Yeah, no, you know, you definitely, if you want to keep the bonita, you definitely need to be an advocate for what you want. And, hey, I'd like to get this bled right away and possibly on ice. You know, and we will clean it right away and throw it in the 33-degree refrigerated seawater hold we have on the Tomahawk, and we'll keep it nice and cold. And, you know, I definitely grew up saying bonita, barracuda, and skipjack, you don't eat. But I'm telling you, I've been proven wrong by guys on the boat that showed me how it could taste if it was prepared correctly.
Bonita and barracuda cook up really, really well if you take care of it. And you put, huh?
Oh, heck yeah.
I was going to say, it cooks up, both of those cook up very, very well. You know, that barracuda, if you got to gut it and bleed it and put it on ice so it doesn't, you know, kind of disintegrate out there in the air, that cooks up white and tasty, almost like Wahoo. It is really good. And bonita is wonderful if well cared for. You know, you can buy it in the sushi bars. If you go to the sushi bar, it's the same fish here. And we used to smoke them all the time and then have them with crackers and beer at halftime at the football games.
Oh. Nice, tailgating with bonita.
That's exactly correct.
Hey, let's get back to the real reason why we're here, and it's after them tuners. Eric, for the people that are going out on the Tomahawk, they're looking for suggestions on how to gear up. What are you telling them right now?
You know, it's one of those times where you could catch a 20-pound fish and you could catch a 200-pound fish. So really the best advice I can have to anybody that's coming out on any of these overnights, a day and a half and longer trips for this bluefin, definitely be prepared with as many rigs as you can. You know, the boat's not going to be happy if you bring 10, but, you know, bringing 4 to 5 will be fine. Try to have a 20-pound bait stick, a 30-pound bait stick, a 40-pound bait stick, and then one that can, you know, fish 60 to 80-pound bait, but also could double as your flat fall rig, where you're going to use a 150-pound 3-foot leader for your flat fall. Make sure you use that leader. Do not skimp on the leader. They'll bite right through it. These big bluefin inhale that flat fall, and it's down in their gills when you're fighting them. And if you have, you know, 60-pound test, it's I don't know if you guys have seen a 200-pound bluefin's teeth, but they're like little sharks. So you got to use the 150-pound crimped leader on that flatfall. But definitely 20, 30, 40, 80-pound fluoro. And then, like I said, for the flatfall, 150-pound leader and assortment of hooks and weights. Dropper, well, not so much dropper loop, but rubber band. Torpedo sinker to get your bait down. You know, you just have to be prepared for anything. But typically we've been finding the fly line 30 to 40 pound bait or the flat fall has been getting bit the last week or two.
I'm a real advocate for don't take the BB gun on a bear hunt.
Yeah.
Take the, if you're going to do, forget the 80, if you've got it and you've got a reel that'll handle it, and I'm talking a 30 or 30 wide or something like that, or HXW, some of the higher end reels that you can actually turn the handle on a fish that's a 200 pound fish, go with the 100 pound rig and or that, just you're going to have a top shot of short thing of 130, because these fish are not, they're not shy if they're trying to eat a moving bait at night. It's not a line, they're not line shy. You just have to get it in front of the right one, and if you hang them, give yourself a chance. That's the only way you're going to get them in.
Exactly. Large spool capacity, able to hold a bigger line. And just like you said, they're not line shy when it comes to a flat fall jig that's moving through the water. What I typically like to use, and I encourage people to use, is 80 to 120-pound Spectra tied to, if you're going to use a mono top shot, 100-pound top shot. I skip the top shot personally, and yeah. I go Spectra right to 4 pound or 4 foot, excuse me, 4 foot, 150 pound leader to the flat fall crimped, definitely crimped. That is the way to fish these fish with the flat fall.
Wow. You know, Eric, with the electronics that you have aboard the boat and you're finding these fish on the meters, can you tell by the meter marks you're getting that you're running over some fish, and when you alert, you know, the fishermen on the boat, you can say, hey guys, we're going over some tripodigital fish, please do not throw the 30 pound test lines over, go with the big stuff? Or can you tell if you're going over some bullets that you're going, hey, this is a good time, if you got some 30 pound with you, to throw it overboard, let's see what we can bring up?
You know, that's a good point. Yes, we have schools where we see the fish down at a certain depth, and we can tell they're larger fish, and we tell everyone, hey, we're seeing larger fish. And also, sometimes you'll see the fish boiling, jumping out of the water, and you can tell, wow, these are Volkswagens jumping out of the water here. Probably not the time to grab a 20-pound setup. But, yeah, we definitely remind the passengers, but what we found the last few weeks is we'll be on a school of 30, 40 pounders. Then all of a sudden we get, you know, some in the mix there. The boat got 42 bluefin a week or so ago. We got limits of bluefin, and we had a few guys get spooled, and oh, they were definitely 100 pound fish mixed in with the 40 pound fish. And that's when it's just, you know, that's just fishing. Sometimes there's big fish, but you know what I try to recommend to people is, if we don't know what size fish they are, start with 30 or 40. If you're a good angler, start with 30. I've landed tons of 100 pound tuna on 30 pound tests. If you're not so comfortable, maybe 40, and until you're proven wrong, like, okay, these are 200 pound fish, they're going to eat 80 pound, let's go to that. Or, you know, these are 15 pound bluefin, we can drop down to 20 or 30 pounds. So always start with 30 or 40 if the captain doesn't let you know, but definitely be prepared with the bigger stuff. And the captain on the side scan sonar will let you know, hey, we're seeing some bigger fish here. Let's try the big stuff.
Yeah. Do you find...
You know, for me...
Yeah, go on, Wendy.
You know, for me, what I do, if I know there's big fish around, I would hate to lose a big fish on light line. So I actually start off heavy. If I know those big guys are there, I'll start off with 60 pound, 50 pound at you know, smallest, and then go from there. If I'm not getting bit, then I'll downsize. But other than that, I'd rather, you know, start off with the heavier line that gives me a better chance to bring in that fish.
I'm with Wendy. Yeah. I, you know, start with 40 or 50. You can hang that big fish and get him in. And the little guys, if they're chewing, they're not going to mess with it. They'll still eat 40 or you might even get bit on the 50. If you're not, then you can downsize and go to 30 and start there. But give yourself a shot, especially on this big stuff when it's around. It's bigger this year than it was last year. You got to remember that.
You know, Eric, with the fishing the way it is right now, what type of trips are you offering? Are you trying to get out during the middle of the week, or are you finding right now that just the weekend is what you have to do?
You know, so far with the fishing that's going on and it being early in the year, just, you know, almost May here, we're finding that we can only get out on the weekend. But if we start seeing the trips fill up on the weekend, we'll definitely getting some weekday trips up. But, you know, just for instance, this next coming weekend, you know, Friday, May 4th, we have a day and a half at a Seaforth landing. And then the next weekend, we have a couple overnights. But most of the trips right now are going to be, you know, overnight to day and a half range. And once these fish really start going and, you know, we're getting more and more anglers on the boat, definitely be putting up weekday trips trying to get out.
Yeah, the best thing is don't wait to see that the counts are up. You want to get out there and be the guy that drives those counts up. And because normally a lot of these trips you're still taking are almost like limited loads. And so there's plenty of room and plenty of fishing to be had.
Yeah, most of the boats out this weekend, with the exception of one, you know, had 10 to 20 passengers and they all ran. I know on our boat we had 15. And next weekend right now we have, we have 15 spots left right now. So we're right about the same.
Well, Eric, let's
right see. About the same. So definitely some limited loads out there. And yeah, definitely get out and make the fishing happen. The more bait we can get in the water, the more anglers we can get, the better these schools are going to bite and stick with the boat.
Well, let's see what we can do to help you fill up a few of those bunks. How's the best way to get a hold of you? And typically, what time are you taking off, and when are you coming back on the day and a half?
Well, we typically take off early in the season right now at about 7 p.m., and we'll leave on a Friday night. We get back Sunday, and this is a day and a half trip like the one we have coming up this following weekend. And we get back Sunday, 6 a.m. The best way to look at our schedule is go to tomahawksportfishing.net. That's tomahawksportfishing.net. Or give me a call. I'll answer the phone. Be happy to talk with you. 619-909-6079. Once again, it's the Tomahawk, and we're at a Seaforth landing in Mission Bay. Plenty of free parking, so come out and fish with me. We'll have a great time.
All right. Eric Sauerwein from Tomahawk Sports Fishing out of Seaforth. Eric, I know you're probably exhausted from having been out over this weekend, but thanks a lot for spending some time with us and telling us what's happening out there. And we look forward to seeing you here in the not-too-distant future and going out there and sticking some of those fish.
You're very welcome. I appreciate the time. Great talking with John, Stan, Wendy. I appreciate it, and thank you very much. Anytime, give me a call.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Hey, guys.
Thanks, Wendy.
Believe it or not, we've chewed up all of our time. We've gone from the Eastern Sierras to San Diego up to L.A., and all I can say is it looks like we're right on the cusp of everything just beginning to break loose.
Well, you know, I did get a text.
Go on, Wendy.
I went and wrote orders today because I have to go to court on Tuesday. So I went out there, and, you know, a lot of my orders, they were missing 30 and 40 pounds. That's what they're selling right now. So it must be the local yellowtail bite and the bonita and all that. And so get out there before all the crowds are out there. And if you want to get on a trip, this is going to be another awesome season. Sign up before the boats are full.
Yeah, but stock on those materials now because, you know, as Wendy said, you don't want to go to your local tackle store and finding out that you need 40
That's
or 50
right.
and they've been blown out. And, Wendy, I want to thank you for supplying us with all those good Iserline products down here in San Diego. Stan, one last word before we kick it in the head here.
Well, I just got a text. Adam up at Crowley apologized. He said there were lots of four-pound fish, 3 and 4-pound fish at June. 4 1/4 was the biggest one he saw at June, and lots of
fish fours and fives, and five, and he said the biggest then at Crowley he saw was 5.5, but he goes, it was pretty rampant, and everybody was catching fish, and it was a great opener.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to catch up with Adam next week, and we can hear what's happening. But, guys, that's it for tonight. They're about ready to pull the plug on us. Thanks a lot for all the great support, guys. And always, in behalf of Otto in the AM 540 studios, Ben here in San Diego, and always in memory of Big Tuna Bill, Eddie McCune, and our good friend Paul Leader that helped us keep on the air for so many years. Thank you, the listeners, for listening to us. Stan, Wendy, and I will be back next Sunday night with another live show. So you go out there and get them. They're getting away.